Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Luke 2, verse 1. Let's read in the New King James. It's on the screen as well. Are you ready? Let's go. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Father, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I didn't share this in the first service, but I have a little bit more time now, and so I'm going to. What's amazing as you read this, the title of today's message is Understanding and Responding to the Shepherd's Sign. The Shepherd's Sign. I'll finish reading the whole text, but I thought I'd have you sit down since it's 20 verses. It's amazing this first part here, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. God had his prophetic voices in the Old Testament declare where the Messiah was going to be born. And the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Problem is, except it's not a problem for him, but logistically, how do you do that when the Messiah is in Nazareth? Yet, being from Nazareth, fulfilling yet another prophetic word that'll be called the Nazarene, the branch. It's so profound how God weaves together fulfillment in every single prophecy, even out of Egypt. I've called my son and they go to Egypt at an all expense paid trip to avoid the slaughter of Herod later on. It is truly amazing. God can touch any nation at any moment, turn any president, turn any king. He can turn anybody's heart. Proverbs 21:1 says he turns the heart of the king like a water course. And it's encouraging that he can move a whole nation to fulfill. And that's what he does. He moves a whole Roman Empire to fulfill the prophetic word of the Messiah being born in Bethlehem. And I just didn't want you to miss that. Come on, somebody say he's touching America. Verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee, city of Nazareth, to Judea, city of David. It's called Bethlehem because he was of the house and the lineage of David, yet fulfilling another prophecy. This Davidic covenant that David would have his lineage on the throne and literally the Messiah would come from him. Verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife. This is pregnant with revelation, pun intended. His betrothed wife who was with child. Let me just stop. He's betrothed, meaning he's not married, but it's like marriage without. Betrothal is marriage without consummation of marriage. So Joseph is betrothed, but it's just a one-liner. You just miss it if you blink. It's betrothed, but she's with child because the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. So it was while they were there in verse 6, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there was in that same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, everybody say behold, behold, the angel of the Lord stood by them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. Would you say that with me? And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill towards men. So it was while the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen as it was told them. Let's pray. Gracious, awesome, mighty God, thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. I thank you for these that have gathered and all those online, those that will listen even at a later date on podcast, on YouTube. Let your power be released as I preach. Anoint these lips of clay, I pray. Put fresh oil not only upon me, but upon your people, that as we hear your word, we would be transformed. As we hear your word, we would not just be hearers, but it would be activated into our heart, that we would be changed to be even more like you. Release living understanding and the effects of this service be far-reaching even to eternity, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And all of God's precious, holy, blood-bought people said, amen. This is a powerful text. An introduction now, and we do have notes. If you have those, wonderful. If you need a copy, lift a hand and they'll bring that to you. Great. The first time Christmas story is told, the very first time the Christmas story is told, although you don't hear it that way too often, it is the story of the birth of Jesus, the birth of Messiah, is found in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. That's the first time the Christmas story is told. I'll read it to you. Mankind has set up the context, has fallen, has eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve are now separated from God. In dying, God said to them, don't eat from the tree, because in dying you shall surely die. And the death process began. Spiritually, they're immediately dead. The physical death process began. That was not God's intention, but because of their disobedience, they chose to disobey. And in disobeying, they were separated from God and they got the boot from the garden and the curse comes down upon mankind. But right at that exact moment, the Christmas story is told, Genesis 3 and verse 15, God says this, I'll put enmity between you, talking to Satan, and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Everybody say, he'll crush your head. He'll crush your head. What does that mean? The seed of the woman, it's the seed of the woman is the Messiah. It's talking about one who would come, not multiple seeds, not generations, but one child. He, singular, he will crush the head of Satan. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Messiah. It's the first story, the first Christmas story ever told right there. The text goes on in verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, or tunics of skin in the Hebrew. So why is that even significant? I'm going to set an introduction here to build a foundation upon this message as we get to the main text in Luke 2 about the shepherd's sign. Because if you don't understand everything I'm about to teach you, it's hard to build a house that'll stand. It's profound, this text, these skins, these tunics. God provides a covering for their nakedness. They realize they're naked. They tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. Fig leaves are like a picture of religion. Picture of you trying to cover your own shame, your own guilt. You can't do it. And so God prophesied the Messiah would come through the seed of the woman and crush the head of Satan. And then he covers them with tunics of skin. It's animal skin. I would venture to say, although we don't know because it doesn't say here, but it does line up this thread, this scarlet thread throughout the Old Testament on into the New. I do believe it was a lamb, but we don't know for certain. So he covers their nakedness. Who covered their nakedness? God. God is the one that covers their nakedness. It's a picture of atonement. It is really this initiated covering and protection over them. And it is really the birthplace of biblical sacrifice and the moment of redemptive sacrificial system is rolled out here. This is understood as the first sacrifice in the sacrificial system. You say, what do you mean the sacrificial system? Well, if you follow on there, Abel's acceptable sacrifice in Genesis 4. How did Abel know to kill the firstborn of his flock? How did he know that? Well, his mom and dad taught him. And it's not just a random thing. A fruit basket doesn't do it. Cain gave what he wanted to. Abel gave what was required. The Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12, the final blow to Egypt was the death of the firstborn. All of their gods in those plagues, the 10 plagues, all of the gods of Egypt were judged through those 10 plagues. That's another message. The final plague is the death of the firstborn. And if you had the blood of a lamb on the doorpost of your home, then that death angel passed over. That is a type and a shadow. It's a prophetic picture of one day God sending his lamb. And you can look at Abraham. Passover lamb, Exodus 12 on the notes. If you go ahead and forward that, thank you so much. The Levitical sacrificial system, I'll read this to you. Leviticus 4, listen to this, verse 32 to 35, says, if he brings a lamb as a sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish. Then he shall lay his hand on it. It's instructions on how to bring cleansing and atonement, a lamb. Turn to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 53. Oh, so powerful. Written 700 plus years before Jesus ever came, found to be in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which predate the birth of Christ. I've had people tell me, well, I don't believe that man wrote that book. Well, you're just proving your own ignorance and lack of education. Man wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it never contradicts itself, not once. And if you find the contradiction, it's only because you're uneducated to not know actually how that fits. It is inerrant. The Bible, the Word of God, number one selling book that there has ever been. Isaiah, see if you can understand who he's talking about. Who's believed our report? To whom shall the arm of the Lord be revealed? Verse 2, where he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness that we would see him. There is no beauty that we would desire him. Verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he's bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers are silent. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Oh, my goodness. And who will declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For my generations and my people, he was stricken. Oh, my. Goes on to say, and they made his grave with the wicked. But he was with the rich in his death, because he had no violence, nor was there any deceit found in his mouth. I mean, it goes on and on and on. That text is about the Messiah. That text is about Jesus. That text is about the one who stepped out of eternity into time and space, who took your sin and mine. But he first came into Bethlehem, a baby, the Lamb of God, John in John the Baptist in John chapter 1 and verse 29 says, as he's about to baptize Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What were they thinking when he said that? If you were a Jew and you were listening to John the Baptist and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," what would you be thinking? Those that understood knew that he's talking about God's Lamb, the seed of the woman, now manifested. Why? To destroy the works of the devil, to redeem all those who would believe on him, to wash away your sins and mine, to throw them as far as the east is from the west. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Word became flesh. He didn't just stay in a manger. He walked the earth for 33 and a half years, cast out devils, healed the sick, set the captives free. Jesus is the reason for the season, and he's the reason we should get excited and encouraged in this hour. He's more than able to do what most concerns you today. He's the Lamb that was sacrificed for sin. A lamb was sacrificed for sin. And so it's God's intention and plan, his express plan, that all would believe and receive forgiveness of sins. And he made that possible by sending his Lamb. So what in God's name does that have to do with a hill of price of beans in Boston? Well, it has everything to do with the text that we read. The sign of the shepherd. The sign of the shepherd. Let's look at this text now. The meaning of the sign. The sign points to something. So if you look at the exit signs, it points to the exits. Points to the door. Points to the way out. Hence, exit. And the fire department has required us to have exit signs over every exit. It's a requirement. It's a sign that points to the door. So the shepherds are spoken to by these angels, and there's this sign. In 2015, we visited Bethlehem. And when we were there, we were guided by a Palestinian guide. He was an Arab believer, a Christian Arab. He said... he claimed, and we have no reason to think that he was lying, he claimed to be the descendants of the shepherds. We drove there on a bus through. You could see the shepherds' fields. You go to the shepherds' fields today. They're very much the same today than they were back then. Bethlehem is probably a city of 400 or 500 people. Now it's thousands. And so as we went there, he began to talk about this swaddling cloths and the meaning of it. The actual word is not captured in the NIV. It's not captured in most translations, but it is captured in the New King James as well as in the King James. It is the word is swaddling cloth. It's not wrapped in you know, just bundled. It's not just any kind of cloth. It's a specific cloth, swaddling cloth. Swaddling cloths are bandages or what one was wrapped in when they died, this guide told us, and my studies afterwards affirmed that. It is said that travelers, when they're traveling, especially Jews, would carry the swaddling cloths. You can put the verse, that next thing up. Thank you, sir. Swaddling cloths are bandages. They were used when wrapped when one died. They would carry these cloths with them because as a Jew, if you died and you were laid on the ground, you were considered cursed. They had to have prep, their bodies had to be prepared. They had to be wrapped. And so they would carry these swaddling cloths. So we know also, in addition to that, that these shepherds were Levitical shepherds. The shepherds were raising their sheep for the temple sacrifice. Next slide. Thanks. And that's amazing. So what do you mean they were Levitical shepherds? They were shepherds in Bethlehem, those fields there, they raised sheep for the purpose of sacrificing lambs at the temple. So the shepherds that are now hearing the news of these angels, and they say that there's a sign of swaddling cloth. That's that's fascinating, that God would reveal himself to shepherds who are raising lambs for the sacrifice. And he says to them, swaddling cloths. Let me tell you what this means for a shepherd. It's not just grave clothes. Swaddling cloths were also used for lambs' legs. Why is that? Because they would bring the lambs up for the sacrifice. It was a 6-mile journey up to the Temple Mount. And it's not an easy trail. There's rocks. They could hit their legs. They could get blemished. They could get marred on the way. So it is said that they would wrap their legs in these swaddling cloths. So when they went up, if they hit their leg, they were protected. So when the angel comes, gives a prophetic word to the shepherds that Jesus would be the Lamb of God wrapped in swaddling cloths, it's very profound. So they show up. Can you imagine? I mean, they knew what they were saying. There's a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. So those listening to John the Baptist in John 1 and 29 very possibly understood that John the Baptist is talking about Jesus being the Messiah. So these shepherds who raise lambs are the first ones to see God's lamb? That's amazing. Come on, someone say that's amazing. That is amazing. This prophetic word. A lamb without defect. My goodness. All right, how do we respond to the truth that Jesus is God's lamb who takes away the sin of the world? Well, the first thing is all of our human efforts won't save us. You make as many fig leaves as you want. The fig leaves aren't going to help you. Religion's not going to help you. You can surrender your body to the flames. You can give all that you have to the poor. It doesn't cause your sin to be atoned for. There's only one thing that it can atone for your sin. Says it in the book of Leviticus. Is also said in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. How do we respond to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Lamb of God, that he was born fulfilling all of these scriptures? How do we respond? We got to understand that there's nothing you can do in and of your own self to earn forgiveness, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's nothing you can do. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. We need a Savior. And we need to teach our kids that. Amen. We've got to choose to receive Jesus as Savior. You've got to choose today. It was right around this time of the year that I was preparing to speak on a Sunday, which I've done for, I don't know, almost 30 years. And I was on the island of Molokai. Hannah, my daughter, was about 4. I think she was 4 years old. So as I'm preparing, she says, Dad, let's have church. I'm like, let's not, because we're going to have church tomorrow. She said, no, let's have church. I'm like, no, honey, church is tomorrow. We'll have church tomorrow. In fact, Daddy's studying right now, so you can leave me alone. And she insisted, please, Daddy, let's have church. And I just, you know, sometimes you hear your kids, I don't always recognize when God's speaking through them, but I'm learning. This whole building, this property is a result of God speaking through a 10 or 11-year-old. Wouldn't exist. This wouldn't exist without that. Would have missed it. So I looked a little closer at her, and she had this look. She had this glazed look like, please? And I thought, ah, you're a jerk. Jesus. No, not her. Me. Okay. Like, ah. I said, okay. Let's have church. She took off. She just thought, okay, I'm going to go get my kids. And she runs away. She comes back with 2 armfuls of dolls. And she pulls out, she was the usher. She was the greeter. She pulls out the chairs. She lines up all the chairs. She puts all her dolls and her favorite one, Gigi, right next to her. That doll is the nastiest looking dirty thing you've ever seen. That thing had been worn out. Sitting right next to Hannah. And then she folds her hands and she says, preach, Daddy. And I thought, okay, what do you want me to preach on? She said, Adam and Eve. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So I was like, okay, well, let's open up in prayer. And, you know, I'm kind of pretending in that moment, but when you start praying, I mean, do you pretend pray? I don't pretend pray. Like, I'm not like, Lord, oh yeah, Lord, Lord. Lord bless his service. I mean, I sincerely prayed and I felt like a shift. I felt like an unction from God. So I began to preach. I preached the text I'm sharing with you right now. The first Christmas message. Genesis 3 verse 15. And I talked about how Jesus would come and how if you believed in him, and I quickly moved to salvation. I said, is there anybody here that needs to give your heart to Jesus? Yeah, and my daughter's weeping. I mean, how much sin can you do at 4? Not much, right? But she was convicted and she's weeping and she said, raise your hand right now. She raised her hand and she grabbed Gigi's hand. Gigi got saved too. I think all the other dolls went straight to hell. I don't know. Only one doll raised her hand. I led her and Gigi apparently to Christ. And she got saved. I'm talking weeping, crying, and she was a different kid from that day. At 4, she got born again. You've got to choose to serve Jesus and choose to receive him. Your children have to choose to receive him. You have to choose to receive him. And that is the glory of the garden, the freedom of choice. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, and God made a way for them. You look through scripture, every one of the patriarchs, all of the people in the Bible had to choose. You can choose. You're not going to heaven because your grandma did. Hello? Not feeling the love on that side of the church. I'm going over here. You're not going to heaven just because you came to church today. And I'm really glad you did. Try coming all the other times during the week. And next month. And the month after. It's really good for you. You'll grow in God. You get really strong. Learn to live this joy-filled, abundant life. Come on, somebody shout amen. Lift your hands to Jesus. It's easing the blow with the keys. It's just a little easier to swallow. A little bit of sugar up on that thing. Just make it like a little sugar cookie. Totally lost my train of thought, so it's okay. Lift your hands to Jesus. Mary had to choose. Mary had to choose. We get the idea that God came to Mary, an angel, and then she just had to obey. No, she didn't. She didn't have to obey. She could have said no. She said, I don't understand that. I don't get it. Nevertheless, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said. She chose to obey. Joseph could have put her away, but he didn't. Why didn't he? He got visited by an angel. And the angel said, don't be afraid to take her. Because what she has in her womb is of the Holy Spirit. And he didn't believe Joe. Come on, think about that. Just think, you're engaged. You're engaged and you're engaged. Soon-to-be wife comes and says, hey, listen, we have a bit of a thing. What thing? By the way, this doesn't happen anymore. And you tell Joe, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. What? What, have you lost your mind? I mean, it would be pretty upsetting. And then he goes, he lies down, and then an angel visits him and says, take her as your wife. And he changes his plans. And it says in the text, if you read it, that Joseph, he did not know Mary until after she had delivered her son. Do you know what know means? K-N-O-W, biblical knowledge of your spouse. It is the most intimate language there could be. So Joseph had self-control. He chose to have self-control. He chose to obey the angel. I've chosen to live for God all of my life. I'm never going to turn my back. How about you? Have you chosen? Oh, hallelujah. Would you examine your heart right now? If you're not right with God, would you give your life to Him? Online, all over the world, wherever you are. Our children are going to be coming through here shortly. But before they do, I want to make sure you're born again. I want to make sure you've given your life to Jesus. And not just at Christmas, please. Live for Him all year. It's worth it. It's well worth it. If that's you, you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, or you want to make a recommitment to Him, if that's you, would you slip your hand up right now? You say, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus, the Lamb of God. I'm going to believe on Him. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. In this middle section, anybody want to get right with God? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your honesty over on the left side. Just lift your hand. Wonderful. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Come on, pray with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father. And all across this place, those online, pray with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, born of a virgin, walked the earth, and died on a cross for my sin. I believe He rose again from the grave. And I ask you today to forgive me, to cleanse me, to wash me, to make me new. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray each and every person that prayed that prayer to be filled with your Spirit, to be filled with the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Fill them now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing. Turn to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter. Because we've been redeemed, write in your notes, because we've been redeemed, set free from sin and Satan, we must live holy. But how must we live? Holy. So that we're not ensnared again by the enemy. Listen to this text, 1 Peter 1:17. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreshadowed before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's how we're to live. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you and give you peace.